May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text is a portion of Luke's gospel reading this morning. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory of your people Israel. This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, doesn't it always seem like we're planning for the future? Even when you're young, you're planning for the next birthday or Christmas. Maybe an adult asks you, what do you want to be when you grow up? When you get into high school, you're thinking about what's after high school, college, trade school, the military, finding a job, whatever it may be. In your 20s and 30s, you may be planning for a job change or a promotion or a future with your spouse. If you have children, you're planning for their future. As they get older, you try to figure out what they're going to do after high school, where they might wind up, what skills and talents they have. Somewhere along in that time, you figure out you need to start saving money for retirement or for when you can no longer work. When the kids are out of the house, things change a little bit, but you're still thinking about them, planning for them, helping them, maybe planning for future grandchildren. When retirement comes, things still aren't done. You're still preparing for the future. Maybe you need to think about where you will live when you can no longer live at home. Maybe you're saving money for travel or maybe for unexpected medical expenses. And none of this planning is bad in itself. But as Christians, we know that our lives are finite in this life. Our future planning isn't always about ourselves, I hope, but we're planning to give something to the next generation, to our children, our grandchildren, other relatives, maybe to the church. But now consider Simeon from our gospel reading. He was planning for the future, but I suspect in a much different way. We always assume that Simeon is old here in Luke chapter 2, but the text doesn't say that. We're told how old Anna is, of course, and church tradition says that Simeon also would have been elderly. But we do know that Simeon was given a very special and unique promise. Somehow, the Holy Spirit informed him that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Literally seen him. And so with a promise and an expectation like that, I suspect that Simeon's planning for the future was very focused on that one day. That must have been what he was looking forward to for a long time, looking forward to that one day. And that one day is described for us in our gospel reading. It is the day when Mary and Joseph come to do what was required of them by God's law. 40 days after the birth of her son, Mary was to purify herself, and they were to offer the sacrifice prescribed. This was no doubt a very common and everyday occurrence in the temple. It had been repeated thousands of times throughout Israel's history. While it was always an important day for the mother and the father, it was fairly well scripted. They sort of knew what to expect once they got there. But for Mary and Joseph, this was an extraordinary day. These two saints, Simeon and Anna, filled with the Holy Spirit, through the power of the present Christ who was there, spoke and sang words that the church also by the power of the Holy Spirit has remembered for 2,000 years. For Simeon, his life was complete. He had seen it all, as it were. Every day of Simeon's life since he had received that great promise from the Lord was looking forward to this day. This was it. This was what he was waiting for. But not just Simeon, not just Anna. This Jesus was the one all humanity was waiting for. This Jesus was the one all creation was groaning for. As St. Paul put it in our epistle reading, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." All of time had been looking forward to the events of Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection. God had orchestrated all of history so that things would be just so when Jesus was born. 400 years without a prophet speaking in Jerusalem until John the Baptist. God had put Caesar Augustus in place as the Roman emperor. He had put it into Caesar's mind to order a census just when Mary was about to deliver so that they would have to travel to Bethlehem where the Savior was to be born. God had caused a relative peace to exist in the Roman Empire so that the news of Jesus' coming death and resurrection could spread easily. These things weren't by chance. They were by God's ordaining. And it wasn't by chance that Simeon was in the temple that day. God had planned it so the promise that God had made to him could be fulfilled. That Simeon would now be able to leave this life knowing that he was at peace with God so that he could die the death of all the saints before him and after him. He had seen the Christ. And as Simeon knew and spoke of, this Jesus, who was born to vindicate Israel, who was born to vindicate the faith of the remnant of Israel that was still looking forward to the Messiah, to be their glory, this same Jesus would be a light to you and to me, to the Gentiles. In a few short months, the light of the Bethlehem star would guide the wise men to see Jesus, the first Gentiles to worship him, the first fulfillment of Simeon's prophecy. We're waiting for Jesus to return as well, so we can see him with our own eyes. Since Jesus has risen from the dead and ascended into heaven, our future is also all about waiting for one thing. Christ has done everything to save the people of the world. He has died as the Lamb of God for the final sacrifice for sin. He has risen from the dead in defeat of death. He has ascended into the position of power in heaven and now rules over all things. The fullness of time has come. Everything is ready. The banquet feast is prepared. We are waiting for just one more thing. Not the restoration of the nation state of Israel, not the rebuilding of the temple, certainly not the rapture. We're waiting for Jesus to return visibly and in glory, so that we may see our Messiah with our own eyes, even as Simeon did. And that certain future ought to affect the way we plan for our future in this life. Since Jesus is risen, since he has the victory, since he has given you the victory, we have won. We have already won. Though there are earthly things we plan for regarding our future, and we should, our future is ultimately not in this life. Our future is in eternal life, a future yet to come. We too are waiting to see Jesus, whether at our deaths or whether he returns before that, God knows. That's what we should be planning for, preparing for, preparing our children and grandchildren and community for, to see Jesus. And so we come this day into God's presence to plan for our future with him. But it is ultimately God's future plan for us that he is working out in us. As the Lord leads you to repentance and to receiving forgiveness according to Christ's promise in your baptism, as the Lord speaks to you from his word, as the Lord gives you the body and blood of Jesus to eat and to drink, he is planning for your future. A future where streams of living water flow on the new earth. A future where, like Adam and Eve, you can hear God's word as you walk and talk with him. A future without sin or death. A future at the table of the wedding feast that has no end. That is your future. Whether you die rich or poor, surrounded by family or alone, young or old, that is the future God is planning for you, just as he planned for Simeon. God's time is fulfilled. Everything is ready. Since past sins are forgiven and our future is in God's hands, we are enabled to live right now surrounded by God's care and mercy and grace. We are enabled by God's Spirit to be bold in our witness to Jesus. We are enabled by God's Spirit to serve one another, those who God has placed in our lives, without needing to worry about whether they will even receive our service, thank our service, or even recognize it. Because it is Christ at work, serving them through you. We can live lives without worry or anxiety about persecution for the sake of Christ or about the godlessness in our world. Because as St. Paul reminds us, none of the things in this life can separate us from God's love. For like God, his love is eternal. He promised Simeon that he would see the Christ, and he promises you the same thing. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus, amen.